Everyone, welcome everybody to episode 13 of Strong Body, Stronger Mind. If you are new here, my name is Celeste.
My name's Chelsea.
And it's been a hot minute since we have recorded a podcast, but life happens. I think we said that last time as well, because before that it was a hot minute.
All right. So, I mean, we both have a lot going on though. I have health issues going on with my mom that has been taking some of my free time. And by some, I mean, most of my free time away. And then Celeste is pretty deep into prep. So between the two of us, you know, the podcast, we don't want to just do it just to do it. We want to do it when we have time to actually do it right.
Yeah. We want to be able to provide actual value and, you know, not just, I know you guys just love hearing us talk, but be able to make sure what we say actually helps people, because that was the whole point of this podcast, is because we do like to talk, but we like our talking to be beneficial.
Yeah. So, you know, we're gonna podcast when we can. The biggest issue that I personally have with the fact that it's been so long since we podcasted is we actually announced a giveaway last podcast, and y'all been waiting a hot minute to find out who is the winner of that. So we do have two winners selected. One winner will be winning a $50 gift card to Bomar Nutrition, and one winner will be winning, what was it?
A gift card to 413 Apparel.
Okay, so drum roll, please. our giveaway winner for the Bomar Nutrition is going to be Miss Shirley. I do not know how to say her last name.
Honestly, I don't either.
How the heck do we say your last name? You know who you are. And if you're not listening to my podcast,
at Shirley Plott on Instagram.
Yeah. Sure Plott, you sure win. Plot. I'll mess with you.
And the winner of the 413 giveaway is Miss Miranda.
Miranda Schmidt.
Miranda. Schmidt. She had a very, very nice video of pushing herself to failure, and we applaud that. So congratulations to our winners. Shoot us a DM on Instagram and we will get you taken care of, or we will shoot you a DM, because I don't know. We'll figure it out, but
y'all are going to get your gift cards. All right. So thank you for entering.
We will be in contact. But speaking of training to failure and just training in general, we're kind of going to piggyback off of our last podcast, because we talked about training intensity and things like that. So today we are going to be talking about progressive overload and what it is, what it isn't, how to implement it, and just everything that entails progressive overload. So we're going to hop right into it.
Yeah. So this is a really good topic for us to talk about. You know, like you said, it really piggybacks very well off of our last podcast, which was training intensity. So if you guys don't really know what training intensity is, why it matters, highly recommend you go back and listen to that one. I actually will say a little pat on our own backs. I got a lot of really positive feedback in my check-ins from my clients. Did you as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Saying that listening to that podcast really motivated them to push themselves harder in the gym. And when it comes to training intensity, you know, obviously pushing yourself as hard as you can, because if you aren't doing that, there's absolutely no reason that your body is going to change. Our bodies aren't going to change by asking them to do what they already can do. But the way to implement and make sure that training intensity is staying high is to practice progressive overload. But I think progressive overload has this very misconstrued idea or notion in a lot of people's minds. And more than anything, it's kind of like everything in a sense. It's just overcomplicated to the nth degree. And people get kind of too in their head about it to where it starts to become an issue better or more than it's actually helpful.
Yeah. So in a very, we'll go deeper into it in a minute, but just in a very broad definition, progressive overload is basically just providing a increased stimulus on your body in order to make progress in the gym. So that can be increasing weight, that can be keeping the same weight, but pushing a few extra reps. That can be better form. That can be better mind-muscle connection. So there are so many ways to implement progressive overload, but in the basic definition of it, it's just providing an increased stimulus on your body that your body has not done before.
Mm-hmm. It's basically just getting better over time. If you want your physique to get better over time, you have to get better at using it over time. And if you want your muscles to grow, you have to over time expect them to do a little bit more, or they're just going to be comfortable. You know, I like to kind of give the example of like picking up a water bottle. You can already pick up a water bottle. You could pick up a water bottle 100 times. You're not going to build any muscle from doing that because your body already very well and very easily can pick up a water bottle. But can your body easily pick up a 20-pound dumbbell? Maybe, maybe not. And if it can't, and you keep practicing picking up that 20-pound dumbbell, as it gets easier to pick up that dumbbell, your body is going to change. It's going to grow. And then once it becomes easy to pick that up, you have to go and pick up something heavier. Otherwise, you're just going to stay where you are then.
Yeah. And this is why both of us believe in following some type of training plan, training program, because if you are kind of just going into the gym, doing whatever you want, you're not going to be able to progress as optimally as you could if you are doing, you know, the same exercises week to week. Because if you're doing the same exercises, then you can know, okay, last week I did, you know, this amount for this many reps. This week, in order to, you know, progress in some way, I need to do X, Y, or Z. And that's why, you know, we are very big fans of keeping a training log, keeping some type of, you know, documentation of your training so that you can, you know, track what you're doing. Like with anything, you know, like with getting better with your finances, like with getting better with your nutrition, tracking is just a form of data so that you can have it there and know what needs to be improved in order for you to get better.
Yeah, honestly, little side note that has really not that much. I mean, it does have to do with progressive overload, but whatever. I find training to be a lot more fun. You know, everybody wants to have like some motivating factor to go to the gym every day. You're not going to be super excited to go to the gym every day. Can't stress that enough. But you know what is really cool is to like open up your logbook and set a goal for yourself and achieve that goal, right? It makes training a lot more fun because it's like a challenge with yourself. Like, can I do better? Can I be a little bit better? Another really good benefit of tracking your workouts and keeping a logbook, I highly recommend everybody use a logbook. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. Literally go to freaking Walmart and get a little spiral notebook. That's all you need.
Well, notebook.
Really? Yeah. Get a cute one with a cute cover on it. Mine has like giraffe on it. It's adorable. Yeah. But another really benefit of it is, you know, especially when you're in a dieting phase, but any phase that you're in life, you know, I think a lot of people think you have to go into the gym and be super stoked and super amped up. And that's why like over caffeinating yourself before the gym is such an issue. Cause everybody wants to have that like crazy, you know, energy level walking into the gym in order to feel like they had a good workout. But realistically, you could go into the gym and just be kind of like, I'm here. But if you beat the logbook, I can guarantee you had a good and productive workout. So it has its benefits other than just, you know, making sure you're progressing. It has its benefits in terms of ensuring that you have a good workout and motivating you.
Yeah. And it's cool to just like be able to look back on, like I don't know if I still have them, but I used to have logbooks from when like I first started with Nick in like 2018, 2019. And like looking back, I'm like, wow, I'm so much stronger now. Yeah. I train so much better now. And it's just so cool to be able to see how much you grow as an athlete. So that's just a little plug for the logbook, but.
Plug for the logbook. But honestly, the logbook is the best way to track that progressive overload. And I also love what you said about sticking with a program. Like, oh my gosh, everybody, these swipe videos on Instagram. Listen, I can't stress this to you enough. And I'll be honest, I'm guilty of doing this as well. The reason why people on social media post swipe videos is because they get good engagement and they help with our growth. I'm just being honest. Like if you see your favorite fitness influencer posting a different workout on social media every day, it's not because they think that changing up your workouts every day is the best way to make progress. It's because they've been doing that. they've grown their Instagram by doing that, and they know it works at catching y'all's eyes and getting followers. That is it.
Yeah.
If you want to truly build muscle, you have to progress. You have to get better over time. And if you're constantly changing every single exercise you're doing, you could potentially be progressing. Okay. Don't get me wrong. You could potentially be getting stronger, but how do you know?
Exactly.
You know, and how can you optimize it? If you know, and you have evidence, and you have a logbook to look back on and say, okay, I did 10 reps last week, I'm going to get 11. You now know without a shadow of a doubt that you progressed that week.
Yeah. Another thing with the swipe workouts is a lot of them are a lot more volume than people really need. It's a lot of sets, a lot of reps, and you don't need all of that in order to grow, right? We focus on the basics. We focus on intensity with the sets that we do have and the reps that we do have. And we focus on getting better within those sets and those reps. We don't need to be doing 5 sets of 20 for everything.
Definitely. And you don't need to be supersetting your heavy lifts with air jumps or squat jumps or whatever the heck body weight movement you want to do to keep your heart rate up. So when it comes to progressive overload, something that I run across a lot, either in my DMs or in question boxes, or even in client check-in, specifically when I start working with newer clients, is the question of, I can't add any more weight. How can I progressively overload, you know? Or yesterday I did a question box on Instagram and I got a lot of questions about progressively overloading your abs. So I think there's a misconception that progressive overload just means adding weight to the bar every single week. And an example that I like to use with my clients when they start to get hard on themselves about it is, okay, if you say you squat 135 pounds and you add just a 2.5 pound plate, that's the lightest weight in the gym, to each side of that barbell every single week, all year, that would be adding 200. I just did math. I'm sorry. I had to calculate that. That would mean that you added 240 pounds to your squat in a year. Now, as a female, just as a human in general, but I'll use myself as a female who's, you know, a little over 100 pounds, I can squat 135 fairly easily. I mean, it's like my second warm up. It's not heavy. I can tell you right now, in no world will I ever squat 375 pounds ever. Absolutely not. So if I tell myself that, oh, I didn't add a 2.5 pound to my plate to my squat this week, I'm failing at progressive overload. Well, then I'm setting myself up for failure, because in no world am I ever going to be squatting 375 for sets of 10. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So what are other ways that we can implement this magical progressive overload that have nothing to do with weight? Because yes, that is a great way to progress yourself, get stronger, lift heavier, but it's by far not the only way.
Yeah. And I think that kind of also goes back to, not every exercise you're going to be able to increase every single week. Like things like squats, you can increase, you know, a decent amount, but things like maybe a bicep curl, right? You're not going to go from curling 20s and then next week curling 25s and the week after that curling the 30s. And then like in 6 weeks, you're going to be curling like the 50s, right? That's not. It
took me like 3 years to move from the 15s to the 20s. And I'm still trying to push towards the 22.5s. 3 years later.
Exactly. So it is going to be kind of exercise dependent, but you know, other ways that you can focus on getting better, say, you know, you go into your squats, you know, you have a goal of maybe, okay, I'm going to try and increase my weight. And it's just not working that week. You know, you can try and maybe get an extra rep or two at that same weight. That's still adding in more total volume than you did the week before. Or maybe, you know, your form last week at a certain weight wasn't, you know, the greatest, right? You know, we got a few extra reps, but those last two reps were a little bit shaky. So maybe this week we focus on, you know, keeping that same weight, aiming for those same reps, but we try to make those last couple of reps better, you know, form, better control. And that's still getting better, because you're still having, you know, more control, better form. And then the next week, maybe you go up in weight and, you know, try to do the same thing over and over again. So there are so many other ways than just, I need to add 10 pounds to my squat every single week. But like you said, people get caught up in thinking more weight is better. More weight is not always better.
No, more weight is better if your form is there. You want your reps to be intentional, and you want your reps to be as purposeful and optimal as possible. I like that you mentioned improving your form. So something you can use your logbook for this as well. I'll write down, like, you know, 135 pounds for 10, and then in parentheses, all right, last two were really ugly, you know? And I'll write that for myself.
No, the whole they write, wow, that set was off.
Yeah. So write yourself little notes, or even not even just how they look. I mean, maybe you filmed the set and while you were doing it, you were like, that felt rough. That was so difficult. That felt so ugly. But then you watch it back and you're like, that actually looked pretty dang smooth. You can write that note. They looked smooth, but they felt terrible. So, for example, for me, I've been trying to get my deadlift strength back post prep, post surgery. I had a lot of things obviously taking away from my ability to deadlift heavy. And the other day I finally hit 225 for four again. And when I filmed the set, which go back and listen to our last podcast, we talked a lot about the benefits of filming your workouts, but I filmed the set, but after I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to watch that video because that was the ugliest. Like, I just knew it was the ugliest set ever. But then I watched it back and they actually looked really perfect. So I wrote that in my logbook. I was like, they looked good, but they felt like trash. Like, I felt my lower back light up on those. You watch the video back, my form looked beautiful. I felt my lower back. So even though they looked fine, I knew they weren't. So write yourself notes, because then the next week they may still look just the same, but wow, I didn't feel it in my lower back at all. I felt that entirely in my, you know, hamstrings and my lats. That's a really good way to progress yourself as well. Everything we do in the gym needs to be, you know, purposeful at targeting what we're using that movement to target.
Yeah. I think another thing that kind of piggybacks off of what you said is kind of just documenting how you're feeling, you know, before a workout, especially for myself in prep and like for my clients who are dieting. You know, strength and energy, it starts to not be as easy to come by when you are, you know, getting in deeper into a deficit. Now, you know, I think when you are dieting, it is still very, very important to, you know, train as hard as you can, train with intensity. I think we talked about that last podcast.
Yeah.
But realistically, right, as you get, you know, towards the end of a deficit, in the beginning of a cutting phase, you can still get stronger.
To be honest, I feel my best at the beginning of the dieting phase.
Yeah. But when food starts to get lower, maybe cardio is a bit higher, you're starting to, you know, really feel the fatigue of being in a deficit, hitting PRs every single week probably is not going to be as, you know, as easy to come by. However, you know, we can still shoot to maintain our strength towards the end of a deficit. So for me, in my logbook, I try to pay attention to how I'm feeling, you know, going into a workout. Like, am I more tired? Did I get a good night's sleep? Did I, you know, time my pre-workout meal effectively? All of those good things. But, you know, instead of trying to get down on myself about, oh my God, my dumbbell bench is feeling so much heavier this week. Oh my God, I can't get, you know, three extra reps this week. I really focus on how the set feels and how it looks and how it's moving. And really just work on my form and my control and maintaining the, you know, general weight that I have been using. And for the most part, I've been doing pretty damn well with maintaining the strength that, you know, I had during my off season. Have some of my lifts gone down a little bit? Yeah, but that's one, I've lost a decent amount of body fat. So my leverage is kind of changed. So that's going to just make the weights feel different as they're moving. But, you know, relatively, you know, I've lost some weight, but the weights that I'm using are still pretty much the same. So if you think about it, like body weight wise to weight I'm moving, my strength is still maintaining, maybe slightly increasing. So that's kind of cool.
The little side note there for you guys who want to know how to change your workouts when you're dieting versus when you're building, you don't. If you want to maintain the muscle tissue, you got to do the same thing you did to grow it. So that is a very important aspect. But yeah, I mean, I agree. And you also have to realize, you know, you guys, if you're not in prep, realistically, you shouldn't notice huge declines in your strength. Huge declines in your strength in a lifestyle cut is actually a really big biofeedback indicator that I know we both use as to why we may end a dieting phase, or at least diet break you, refeed you, something like that. You don't want to see your strength plummeting. You know, you may feel, again, you know, kind of going back to that, you might not be as super stoked and super hyped to be in the gym, but realistically, you should be able to at the very least match your previous weights used. And I know for me, when my clients are in dieting phases, I'm usually not a huge fan of changing up people's training splits super often regardless, but I push for keeping people's training splits similar for longer periods of time in dieting phases because of just that. It's going to make it a lot easier for us to recover, and it's going to make it a lot easier for us to make sure that we aren't losing strength. But realistically, if your goal is to diet as a lifestyle, you're not in competition prep, you realistically, you might not be able to hit PRs every week, but you should be able to at the very, very, very least maintain your strength, if not improve in your form or in your mind muscle connection or something like that.
Yeah. And a lot of like progression in the gym starts outside of the gym, right? So having good pre-workout meals, having like a good solid foundation of your nutrition, getting good sleep, getting your water in, making sure our recovery is in a good spot, especially if you are, you know, dieting. I know we don't all like to not have less food, but if we want to maintain our strength, if we want to, you know, have good workouts, we do want to prioritize, you know, a good amount of our food around our workouts so that we have that energy to perform, and then we have the energy to recover from the session.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up because I wasn't even thinking of this, but I actually get that question a lot of, oh my gosh, I feel like I lost a lot of strength. My leg day wasn't as strong this week. What's happening? What's wrong with me? And my first question is always, well, did you get a good night's sleep the night before? Were you hydrated when you went to the gym? Did you eat enough food? Remember, we have to fuel our workouts. And like you just said, you know, when you're in a dieting phase, you guys, that may look like a decent chunk of your carbohydrates for the day are just going pre-workout and you're eating vegetables for the rest of the day. You know, your workout should essentially and probably is the most physically taxing part of your day. So it should be fueled accordingly.
Yeah. So it's not fun to have to, you know, eat less throughout the day, but if you want to maintain the muscle that you built, then you got to do what you got to do. And even if you're in a building phase, right? Having a good chunk of your food around your workouts is one, going to help with your workouts. Two, it might help with your just overall digestion because you're going to be using a majority of your food when you are the most active. So you're going to not be as, you know, lethargic throughout the rest of their day. But, you know, the goal is to optimize our training to the best of our abilities, right? We want to get better. We want to get stronger. And that comes from our diet and our recovery.
Yeah. So I think we've really covered everything. My biggest takeaway, I guess, for you guys is to just first and foremost, get a logbook and start tracking your workouts. But second of all, realize that progression is not linear. You're going to have days or weeks where you don't feel as strong. I mean, hormones play into this. Recovery plays into this. There's a lot of things that play into this, and just straight up the fact that you're a human being, you could be doing every single thing right. We all get sick. We all get run down. We all get allergies. We all get, you know, little things here and there. But in order to progress your physique, the biggest thing you need to realize is that over time, you have to get better. If you aren't getting better in one way or another, whether it be adding weight, getting stronger, adding reps, improving form, then your physique is not going to change.
Yeah. And kind of like you said, not every workout is going to be your best. I tell my clients that like 10% of your workouts are going to be absolutely amazing, right? You're going to feel extremely strong. You're going to be, you know, hitting PRs, right? And then you're going to have the bottom 10% where it's like, it's just a shitter. Things just aren't working. things feel heavy, but in that, you know, 80% in between, those are, you know, kind of your run-of-the-mill workouts where we're focusing on progressive overload in some form or another. And it's those, you know, workouts that maybe don't feel like astronomically amazing, but we're still getting better in some way. And those little increments, they do add up. All of the little things, they compound into those bigger changes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So find a way to make it fun. Honestly, you guys, ever since keeping up with a logbook, and I'm pretty late to the game on it, honestly, at least staying consistent with it, but it really is, it's more fun that way. Like even on the days I don't want to train, if I can go and look at a number and try to beat it, when you do beat it, all of a sudden you get pretty excited to work out because you're like, wait, I'm getting stronger. And it's a good feeling, you guys. It really is.
Yeah. So keep a logbook, focus on getting better in some capacity. It doesn't need to be more weight, and don't overcomplicate it, right? Just keep it simple. That's our motto with everything. Keep it simple and you'll be just fine. And if you need help, shoot us a DM or apply for coaching.
Apply for coaching. It's free. So anyways, thank you guys for listening to episode 13. Like I said before, we're going to try our best to be as consistent with this as we can. But if you guys would like and give us 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, we would love you. Share this podcast with your friends so that we can grow. And if you guys have any topic ideas, please feel free to send them our way.
Yes. Tag us in your stories. We love to see them. Thank you for the support. And we will talk to you guys in the next one. Bye.